It's Wednesday, January 11th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we review two pretty terrible anime, Gundam F91 and Akagi.
Let's do this!
So, my job sort of is going to transfer me from the city to somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Wow, so, well, one, you're going to pay me equal rent now, because I've been kind of subsidizing you taking that train in.
Whatever, but part of the deal is I get a big raise to buy a car that can get me, you know, 1 hour each way every day.
You know, you could just take the big raise and not buy the new car.
Yeah, except my car will die within, like, a month if I do that, because it's a piece of crap. And it'll suck driving real bad. If I had a new car, at least it wouldn't be so bad driving every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I need a new car anyway. I was going to buy one in, like, a couple years, but buying one now doesn't hurt, and it's technically free because, you know, I'll get a raise, you know, equal to or greater than my monthly increased cost of living, so it'll be like, whoop. Plus, you got to remember, I'm not going to be paying $300 a month for a train ticket, so, you know, the monthly payment's less than $300 a month, and then my insurance is less than my raise, and I'll basically profiting still and getting a car, so not bad.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what your financing ends up being.
If I get financing, who knows? I might lease, I might go get a loan from the bank, and then just buy it with the cash from the bank loan. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd lease. It's generally a bad idea.
You know, but it's generally a bad idea if your, you know, plan is for long term, but, you know, just to get a car and then you want to get rid of it in 2 years, you know, it could be all right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Plus, you know, a lot of people I know, like my boss, he's got loads of money, and he just constantly leases cars, which I guess is okay. It's like you have this eternal monthly payment, and you never own a car.
But you always have a newish car.
You always have, a new car, like 1 or 2 years old. You never have an old jalopy. And that's kind of attractive and kind of worth, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of attractive, but to me, I kind of like the fact that my car isn't new. I mean, my car's not the greatest car, but it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to not care about it at all.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
Because you put a nice little ding in my car from your door, and I got no issues with that. People bump into it and scratch it, and there's little paint chips on it every now and then because people are just stupid in parking lots.
I don't care about that kind of stuff either, really.
Yeah. You might care if you got a brand new car, though.
Well, you know, not like the paint. I would care if there was like a dent in it, you know, but if you like scratched it, I'd be like, whatever. I don't even notice scratches on cars,
nah.
Let alone, you know. Plus, I would probably pay the $20 to get those little strips on the side. So if you bump something into the car, it'll bump into the strip. You know those things.
Yeah, I know those things.
Yeah. Plus, I think those actually look better than not, you know, just a plain body sheet.
See, I like the plain. I like a really minimalistic car. Like, I like really small, really streamlined, solid colors.
Like solid colors, but
I mean,
if
I had money, I'd just buy a new Miata, like, right now. Just.
It depends. The thing is whenever you look at the dealers, or at least not the dealers, the manufacturers of cars seem to be really smart about body work. Like, I've gone to lots of car websites and things and customized cars and those little, you know, web application thingies. And you just click, and it. You can like change like the front grill piece, and you could change the little wings in the back, and you could change like these runners around and like pieces of bodywork near the doors, trunk, and windows, and fenders, and all that stuff. And whenever you click on the more expensive thing, it just looks better every time. It's like, oh, look, without the wing, the car is kind of ugly. And you click add wing, and it's like, oh, the car looks awesome now. And then it's like, huh, I wonder what that little piece of body around the fender is. You click, and it changes around the fender, and you're like, oh, that looks so much better. I can't believe it. And then by the time you've clicked all of them, it's like the car is $5,000 more.
Well, we'll see how it goes, because we'll be out test driving this weekend.
Yep, gonna test drive a stick, see how that goes.
Yeah, because both of us, we both had stick cars, like back in the day.
I didn't have one, but
we knew how to drive a stick.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since either of us has so much as touched a clutch.
Yep, but the guy said, you know, I was like, yeah, I haven't driven one in 6 years. The guy was like, oh, it's no problem. I've known people come in here, and after a few minutes, they're all good. So it's not my car I'm going to be test driving. So if I destroy the transmission, oops. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But in the news, we got some nice anime news to go along with our whole anime day. Full Metal Alchemist, in Japan on March 29th, they're releasing the FMA Premium Collection.
It's basically this DVD, and on it will be a movie that was originally part of a ride at Universal Studios Japan.
I really want to ride this ride.
Apparently, it's an FMA ride at Universal Studios Japan. What the hell? I want to go on the FMA ride. It's not fair.
And also, three short OAVs. Now, one of these I'm kind of excited about. It's a Gokuro-sama, or a... you know those little chibi things like Mini Pato, or Lotus Island?
Lotus Island.
It looks like it's that.
It's the Lotus Island of FMA. But, oh, it's the Lotus Island of the FMA movie.
Yes, so it's all the characters that are in the movie. So, if you haven't seen all of the show, there might be characters in the show that are not in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but you know what? If you haven't seen Fullmetal Alchemist, see it. Yeah. Because spoilers abound, and while we won't spoil it for you, someone else will.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie will.
Yep.
In fact, just knowing about the movie can spoil parts of it, so go see the show.
Mm. See, I wasn't 100% sure the movie spoiled the show.
Well, you obviously hadn't seen the second trailer they released that showed things.
I don't know. I saw stuff, and I saw like the first few minutes of the movie, and it didn't seem to do anything, but now I'm not so sure. I gotta watch this damn movie. Why don't we just watch it?
We've got it.
Let's watch it, like, this weekend or something.
All right, we might have a review of the FMA movie real soon.
Yeah. Then we'll know for sure.
Well, that was quick.
Not so much news today, you know, since Apple was yesterday.
Yep. But my thing of the day is kind of, might be boring, but I think it's kind of neat. You've all played Monopoly, you know, that kind of terrible board game that's really popular in the U.S. for some reason. They make a million knockoffs of it, like Monopoly New York Edition or Monopoly RIT Edition.
Well, they always call it RITopoly.
Yeah.
Or Collegeopoly. Or Stupidopoly.
Well, this is a nice little website that has a bunch of optional rules that make the game somewhat bearable.
It's not hard to make the game somewhat bearable if you enable some auctioning and you get rid of stupidity on free parking.
Well, you know, by default, I mean, most people, at least that I've known who play Monopoly, they haven't read the rule book since they were a little kid, and they just play it wrong.
A lot of people do play it wrong.
Like, I know a lot of people play where all the money that goes to the bank, for whatever reason, goes into the middle, and if someone lands on free parking, they get all that money.
What?
Yeah.
That's the craziest one I ever heard.
That's like the standard house rule that a lot of people play
I've
with.
Seen crazy ones, but nothing that crazy. I mean, the way I've seen it is like, you put $100 in the middle, and then if someone lands on free parking, they get the $100, and then you take $200 from the bank and put it in the middle. And then if you land on free parking, you get $200.
Yep, a lot of people just take all the money that goes to the bank for, like, luxury tax or whatever, and they put it in the middle.
Whoa.
And anyone who gets bankrupted by the board goes in there, too, all their stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And most people don't realize that in the official Monopoly rules, at least a long time ago, if you land on a property and you don't buy it, it gets auctioned off.
Yep.
Most people don't play that way.
That's the way you should play.
Yeah.
I remember there was an old DOS game that used to play that way by default, but with a checkbox you could turn it to the way most people play, but we played it with the auction method, and we'd be sitting there with our fingers on like the different buttons on the keyboard going like, dit, 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 on an IBM PS1 with like little colored bits appearing and disappearing. Really, Monopoly is just such a... It seems like with German board games, you know, there's not really a lot of effort in like manipulating the game pieces. Some games have quite a bit, but not usually a whole bunch at a time.
Yeah, and usually when there's a lot of manipulation in a German board game, it's always like intrinsic to the game.
Yeah, in Monopoly, there's a lot of like this extra manipulation. Like you have to fiddle with the houses and the hotels. You have to deal out all the cards of properties and flip them over. You have to hand out the money is a huge pain in the ass. You get, you know, and then you get the chance.
See, when I was a little kid, I never used money.
Cards.
My whole family used money, and I just sat there with a calculator.
I always sat there with a calculator.
Calculator and the memory.
But Monopoly is really a game that I really can't stand to play it unless you have like a real fancy set to kind of add something to
it. That doesn't add anything.
Yeah, no, it makes it a little more fun.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
you could play Monopoly with pieces of paper where you wrote the numbers down.
You could, but have you ever played Monopoly with like the big fancy wooden set with the gold pieces and everything?
No, because that's just stupid.
It's stupid to buy one, I agree. No, Anyone who buys one is an idiot.
You know, that's the equivalent of saying, like, yeah, war may be a dumb game, but if you play with solid gold cards, it becomes awesome.
It does become a little more interesting because, you know what? While the game is dumb and boring, you at least have something else to pay attention to.
You know what? If you actually are serious and you're not just, you know, joking, then you should really take up Baccarat.
What's Baccarat?
Baccarat is a game they play in casinos, and it's pretty much the epitome of the fact that you're playing Baccarat, and it's all fancy, is the only thing it's got going for it.
Really?
It's actually the stupidest game. I'm not going to explain how to play Baccarat, because it's stupid. Like, in Bond movies, people play it. In movies, there's always, like, the famous rich guy, and he plays Baccarat. It's, like, in the area in casinos, like, behind this rope. It's the stupidest game ever.
All right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to play it,
no, just don't play it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, and if you're going to play it, I mean, just play it correctly. You know, follow the rules and maybe do some of these nice optional rules. Like, my favorite one is, you know, the two utilities in the game?
Mm-hmm.
How they're completely useless?
They're mostly useless.
They're completely useless.
Mm.
There's absolutely no reason to ever buy them. The return on investment is pretty much nothing. They cannot help you win the game ever. Well, these people suggested that they should count as railroads and just extend the railroad money table accordingly.
That's not so bad.
That fit, because then it makes the railroad baron strategy a real big strategy.
It does. Not a bad one. I've heard worse.
Yep.
I've heard of the, there's another one where if you go to jail, you gotta, like, bail yourself out or get someone to bail you out and...
Or
making jail more of a suck.
All you have to do to fix that is if you're in jail, you can't collect rent.
Yeah. Well, isn't that a rule anyway?
No.
Oh, that we've always played where if you're in jail, you don't get dick.
Well, that's a good thing to do, because otherwise it's a good strategy to put yourself in jail for most of the game after all the property's bought up.
Yeah. Also, you think you should make it harder to get at it, or, like, you know, because what can you do to get out of jail? Like, pay $50?
Or wait 3 turns.
Or wait 3 turns. Oh, if you roll doubles, though, you get out, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of okay. It should be harder to get out of jail.
See, the thing is, it shouldn't be hard to get out of jail, because getting into jail is completely random, arbitrary, and stupid. There's nothing you do that puts you in jail. It just happens to you.
Well, because the game is called Monopoly, right? So the logic is that you're committing illegal business dealings constantly.
No, I'm
so
not.
So you deserve
I'm
to
not.
Go to jail.
I legitimately build my hotels, and I provide legitimate services to people in exchange for money.
I find that laughable.
Hey, you ever stayed in my apartments in Baltic?
Yeah, what are you doing with that monocle top hat sack of money?
Monocle top hat what? I was always the car or the little dog.
I was always the battleship, but that's not the point. Or the iron, but that's not the point. The point is, is that Mr. Monopoly is an evil business fucker.
No, what if he's one of the old school capitalists who give money back? You know,
the
like
kind if they were around today would also be in jail.
Like Rockefeller. He built Rockefeller Center and stuff.
Yeah, the same thing that people like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. First they do a bunch of evil and they get real rich, then they feel bad, so they become all, you know, the word for people who give money away.
Philanthropists?
Yeah, that's the one. I knew it was Thropic something.
See, the problem is back in the day there were bad people, but at least there were bad people who did some good. It seems like most of the uber capitalists these days don't give anything back.
And they're not even really capitalist Adam Smith-like.
Yeah.
They just say the word capitalism to me, and I can do whatever I want, even if it's evil.
Yeah, we'll get into that some other day.
Yeah, we can do that some other
Scott,
time.
Scott, do you have a thing of the day?
Yeah, I had a funny thing, and it was a video, and it was on Google Videos as usual. And at work, I got to it just fine, but now when I get home to go check it out, it's like gone. So I had to pick something else that's not as cool, but also not completely lame. You know the Hubble telescope?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it takes lots of nice pictures that everyone enjoys. It can actually take crazy high-resolution pictures, but you never see those if you're just a Joe Schmo. Well, on the Hubble website, they have here, you can download full Hubble telescope resolution pictures.
They're big.
The biggest one is 18,000 by 18,000 pixels.
There's a warning on the website telling you that if you don't have a lot of RAM, don't download it because it'll probably crash your computer.
Yeah, the big JPEG file is 23 megabytes, and the small one, which is only 6,000 by 6,000 pixels, is only like 3 megabytes. but they have TIFF images, which have absolutely no compression whatsoever. The small one is 50 megs, and the big one is almost 400 megs.
Yeah.
I don't even have, I have 12 megs of RAM, all right?
I dare you to open that.
I could, but Linux wouldn't care. But
no, Linux wouldn't care. It'd thrash, though.
Windows would crash on my computer, but on my work laptop has 2 gigs of RAM, so I'd be safe.
Maybe.
Definitely, but still.
No, because I was thinking about Windows allocating that RAM properly.
Yeah, I just don't want to sit around to download a 400 meg 18,000 by 18,000 picture. But I did look at the low-resolution JPEG, which is only 6,000 by 6,000. And let me tell you, it's really awesome to look at this thing. Like, stars which you can't even see, you can see like a speck on this thing. And like in the nebula galaxy, I think it's a nebula, it looked a nebula to me. You can see like all the details of the nebula. It's crazy.
All right, so it's anime day, and we've got 2 anime to review, and they're both pretty terrible.
Yeah,
yeah, we watched Mobile Suit Gundam F91, which is a movie.
This is a Gundam movie made in 1991.
And we watched Akagi.
Which is some new show.
And we're going to start with Gundam, because I got to get this out of my head.
Yep.
So,
Let's talk about the movie, what it is first.
All right, well, it's in the Universal whatever Gundam
Century.
Universe. Yeah.
It's the default Gundam universe. It's a story about... There's some space colonies, and then this pirate group called, like, what was it?
Crossbone Vanguard.
The Crossbone Vanguard.
They're like think about Revolutionary France reactionaries. That's what they're like.
Yeah, so these people want to take over a bunch of space colonies because it's been peace for so long that, like, all the Earth, the big head honchos of Earth are, like, just relaxing on Earth being losers and you know, being all leisurely and not being serious. And, you know, all the normal people have to stay in the colonies. They can't go relax on Earth. So the Crossbone Vanguard is like, we're going to take over a bunch of colonies and get those people to convert to us and then go attack the Earth.
Now, that may sound dumb, and it is. And it may sound like we're oversimplifying, but we're not.
Well, see, that in itself, while not exactly being the greatest plot anyone's ever come up with, isn't really what makes it so incredibly dumb.
That's like 0.1% of the show. See, if you've seen Gundam Seed or the original Gundam or any of those long Gundams, you know, 50 episodes of robots,
mm-hmm.
Imagine if they took all that plot and all those characters and all those events and scrunched them down into a little movie.
See, now this isn't like a summary movie. Like, you know, the Macross movie, well, the Macross Plus movie takes the four? I think there are 4 episodes of the Macross Plus OAV. And it just compresses them into a single movie and takes some, you know, modifications so it makes sense. This isn't a summary of some 50-episode series. This is a movie that was made as a movie, you know, with content that appears nowhere else. And they didn't, like, edit it into a shorter movie.
They just
squished it.
It's just scene, 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 with no breakup. Honestly, it may sound like real vague when we actually talk about this in more detail. But that's because we watched it carefully and we have almost no idea as to what actually happened.
Pretty much they introduce characters like so rapidly. Like,
I mean, it starts out fine. Like, there's like 8 characters that I could identify, but that's fine because there's like this hectic war scene. There's all these civilians and like people are attacking the colony. And it's ignoring the war. It's just showing the civilians trying to get away. It's real hectic and hard to follow, which I thought was cool, you know? And then it stays just as hectic and hard to follow for the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean,
like, they introduce, like, 9 more characters, and then 2 of them die, like, right away. They introduce characters that all look the same, so you can't tell who's who, and everyone is everyone's father.
Yeah, and they keep referring to people, like, different people with different names, and you're not quite sure which names go with which people yet, but they're already referring to people off-screen by their name. And you're like, who? Which one is which? I don't know.
Also, there ends up being one character who has 2 different names, and she's confused because they're calling her by a name she doesn't recognize, which only served to confuse us.
Yeah. It's just real confusing and kind of silly.
I mean, there's a guy in an orange suit who's someone's dad. And we sat there watching the show debating with each other whose dad it was.
And then there was another guy in another orange suit.
Who was also someone's dad.
Someone else's dad. And one guy was doing good and one guy was doing bad. And you couldn't really tell what was going on.
There was a significant amount of time where I thought they were the same person.
I definitely thought they were the same person for a few minutes.
And it just keeps going and going and going, and there's these bugs, and they try to kill everyone in the colony, but... And then there's this woman, and there's another woman who looks just like her, who has nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
People defect from both sides to the other sides, but they don't actually show them defecting. They just show them on the other side, and you don't know why they're there.
Yeah, and it's like they mentioned it in, like, a sentence. Or, like there are characters like the guy, the Crossbone Vanguard's leader's son is, like, a robot pilot. And you see him, like, early on. You're like, okay, I know that kind of character. That's kind of like... Who's the crazy guy in Escaflowne with the white hair?
Oh, Delando.
Yeah, it's kind of like that kind of character. Not as crazy, though, but, you know, it fills the same niche. You see him once, then you see him again, but his character doesn't develop, and you don't... It's just like, oh, here he is, says a sentence about him, he's gone, and nothing really happens with him, and it's like, what? Why do they name this character and put him there to fill my head with more things to figure out? When he doesn't really mean anything. He should have not had that character. He didn't do anything for the movie. And there were a lot of characters like that.
Yep.
He shouldn't have been in there.
It's like there's no faceless drone. Every single person was a person. Which would have been
90%
cool.
of the people
yeah,
were
which
would have
been cool if I'd known what the hell was going on. Like yeah. I was never sure who to pay attention to. There'd be someone and you'd think they're important. And then they just wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in a Gundam when they have like the bridge of a ship, you have of the good ship. You always have the captain and all the people in there are recognizable and constant. So it's like when I look at the captain of the ship, I'm like, oh, there's the captain of the ship. I got to pay attention to them. That's another character to remember.
The captain does almost nothing.
Tim does nothing. They didn't even need to put the captain
in
the stupid movie.
The captain looks just like the female protagonist. And I thought it was her at first. I couldn't figure out why she was captaining a ship.
Yep. It was messed up.
And then the female protagonist, to make it worse, everyone's dad, mom, whatever. She has two dads, and one of them dies suddenly.
Yeah.
And by dies suddenly, I mean quite literally they're talking, and then he just, like, does a pratfall, mm-hmm. and she cries. And I still don't know what the hell that was all about.
And it's like all the usual scenes that animes have for you to figure stuff out, right, are removed. So, like, you know, her dad dies, she cries, but then they don't have, like, the mourning and consolation scenes. Like, you completely forget that, like, her dad died, and it doesn't have any meaning because you didn't have time to, like, absorb that. It was just on to the next thing, and that's never really referred to again. Maybe, like, in passing, like, in a sentence, once.
And I didn't identify with any character. I didn't follow any character. I wasn't entirely sure who the protagonist was until I noticed one guy's name was said more often than anyone else's names. And I figured out who that name was associated
with.
Yeah,
the problem I had in figuring out the protagonist, I did read the protagonist's name on the back of the DVD case. So that helped a bit. But at the same time, I really didn't know which one he was because at the beginning they had... The opening scene was there was a guy on stage and a guy in the crowd. And they both seemed like they were main guys. It was Dwight and Arno, right?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Anyway, one of them had like a dad who was a military guy, and one of them was the main guy. But at the beginning of the show, they were both had equal screen time and were doing equally important things and had equal interaction with like the head female, who was pretty quickly obviously the head female.
Yep. Though
but
I'm still not...
you didn't know which one is the main character until like one guy just stopped showing up.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
The thing is, the one thing that this show had is one that had really high production values for 1991.
Yeah, it was made in 91, and it looked like it was made in like 2000-something.
I just wish they would have put some of that money into making it not suck.
They put all the money into animation and robot battles, which I guess is okay. I mean,
and I gotta say, it had every single Gundam cliche. Right down to, like, right away, there's the moral of the show, war is bad. Like, right away, someone dies, and they have this moment of, oh, war is horrible. Why do people fight? Oh, my God. And then they have a guy in a mask who's the evil guy. He's the square boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the guy who you think is the evil guy who isn't really. And there's the guy who's going to sacrifice himself to save everyone. And, yeah.
It's got everything.
It's not worth watching. I don't know what happened. I bet I could watch it two more times and still have no clue how it ended or what was going on.
You know what it's good for? If you just like watching robot battles, this is pretty much the most robot battle you can get for
your
money.
You know what? Yeah, there's a lot of robot battle, but it doesn't focus on any one robot fighting long enough for you to know what's going on in the fighting.
Yeah, but like, you just keep watching robot battles in their raw form. This is the way to go.
Like, you can't even tell who's fighting on what side or who's winning or losing or who's shooting at who. It's just robots flying around hitting each other.
Yeah, I'm saying is that if all you want to see is robots flying around hitting each other, this is the way to go. It has no other purpose. All right.
Also, it's also real implausible. And not just implausible in a giant robots way, but implausible in that every major plot development seems to occur when someone overhears someone saying something, despite the fact that they're in space in separate mechs.
Well, I think they mention in passing a few times, like one time people had a direct wire hookup between Gundams and...
Yeah.
One time they were using the radio or something.
Because at the end they all get psychic powers.
Oh, yeah, there was some psychic power shit I completely ignored.
Yeah, and then the final scene, which had a chance to make the movie meaningful in some minor way, and they ruined it.
Mm.
We're not going to spoil it, but if you watch this movie and you get to the end and you think, wow, that was kind of sad and poignant. No, it's stupid.
Yep.
They ruin it. So, who bought this movie?
I bought it on sale at Media Play, so whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was full price, I would have been pissed, but 40% off, who cares?
Now, the other show we watched, and all I gotta warn you about this show is that of the three anime we watched to figure out what to talk about, this was the best of them. So, beware next week when we talk about the other two.
Yeah. So... this one is called Akagi, like Mount Akagi from Initial D, which is kind of funny because this is an Initial D type show.
Only it's an Initial D type show about...
if you don't know Initial D, it's a Hikaru no Go type of show.
Or Prince of Tennis.
Or any of those shows that's like about a hobby, you know, and then it's people doing that hobby dramatically and with energy and teaching you about the hobby of, you know, whatever it is. The hobby for this show is... Mahjong.
Not Mahjong as in what you play on your freaking Windows computer.
And not Mahjong as in what old Jewish ladies play.
Or even
what old Chinese guys play.
Yeah.
It's Mahjong of what gambling Japanese Yakuza play. And the thing that really got me is it's not like Go where you could keep teaching people things for like 50 episodes or more of Hikaru no Go.
Yeah, they explain how to play Mahjong in like half the first episode.
It's not a difficult game. I could teach it to you in like 5 minutes.
I mean, there's a lot of ceremony and a lot of craft and a lot of stupid arbitrary things to remember in Mahjong.
But it's essentially gin rummy with little tiles.
Yeah, it's not. The game is just complete luck, basically. Once you know the basic statistics, it's just a game of luck.
It's pretty much a game of luck and watching what other people put out, but you can just look on the table and see what they put out. It's information. So it's paying attention and luck.
Now, I'll warn you ahead of time, you probably don't care. We're going to spoil the first episode of the show. We're going to spoil the one plot point that we find in this show because.
Oh, so the show starts out where this guy is playing Mahjong against some gamblers, supposedly for his life, against some Yakuza, supposedly for his life, or at least for his debt, and he's not doing so well, and he's all frustrated.
And it's going into great detail about what's going on in Mahjong.
Yeah,
like,
because
it shows his hand, and he's talking like, I've got the blah, 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 blah. I can't say Mahjong jargon fast enough, so.
Yeah. You know, just like all those other shows, like, oh, his, you know,
he's got
car.
Dual overhead cam. Oh,
yeah.
But
oh,
he's
his
got...
car has turbo. You're not going to win. You know, he's going to do the super drift technique, blah, blah, blah. Only Mahjong talk.
Yeah, but there's no move of God in Mahjong. It's just pick up a tile and throw a tile down and then flip all your tiles over when you win.
Yep, that's all it is. So, and of course, they add the gambling part, which is at least add something.
No, all it adds is flip the tiles over and then collect money from people.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway. So the guy's playing for his life, and then all of a sudden this punk kid shows up, like a 13-year-old punk kid just shows up at this gambling parlor. So at first they're like, get the hell out of here. But the guy who's losing is like, hey, maybe I need to take a break because I'm all nervous. Maybe I'll use this kid as an excuse. You know what luck. So he talks to the kid for like a minute or two.
And this is all like crazy dramatic.
Crazy
everything
dramatic.
That happens in the show, every single instant is just filled with drama.
That's what they do in these types of shows. We still need a word for these types of shows.
Yeah, we do.
I'll make one up eventually.
So he's talking to this kid, and then the Yakuza want to play again, so they get back to playing their Mahjong. And he comes to a point where he could throw out like a 2 or a 5 tile. Mm-hmm. And he's debating, Because tossing out the five tile is the risky, if the other guy needs it, he wins, but otherwise I have a really good chance of winning. Or the two tile, which is like the safe throwout. And he's about to throw out the two, and then the kid yells at him like, you can't do that. That just means you're a gambler at the end of his rope. You're not taking the risk, blah, blah, blah. I can tell.
Yep.
And the guy's like, what, you played Mahjong? And the kid's like, Mahjong?
Yeah, I never played that in my life. I can just tell by looking at you.
And then the guy has this dramatic internal monologue where he's all, oh, yes, I must take the risk, blah, 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 because I am a gambler. And then he throws out the five.
Mm-hmm. And he wins that hand, actually.
Yep, he does.
And then eventually, within a minute or two, this is on the first episode, by the way, the kid starts playing this game. And the kid's playing, and he starts to kick Major ass. Like, whoa, he's winning. Then a cop shows up, and you learn the plot of the kid is that he's a bad punk kid and he's going to get in trouble. So then you have the cop hanging out with the main character guy while this kid plays Mahjong against the Yakuza.
All right, now what's going on here? Because this is what made the show go from this is the stupidest thing ever to this is the stupidest thing ever with one moment that made us scream and yell and laugh.
And it's also the one thing that raises this above the other three shows we watched by one nanometer.
Because they do something in the show that's never really been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing, and he's got like the makings of an awesome, awesome hand that'll like super win him the game of Mahjong.
Yep.
Like a million, million points. Like the dragon tiles he
needs. And the guy who's in super debt sees the hand, and he's like, oh my god! Does he know? This guy's never played before. Does he know what he has in his hand?
But then the tile he needs to complete this thing and pull off the awesome passes by until eventually, like multiple times, until they're all gone and there's no way he can win now. And the guy watching is like, what? Oh no! Now I'm gonna die! He's gonna lose because he's stupid.
He could have just won and gotten $1 zillion. Oh my god.
So then the cops are there and they're distracting. And then he looks up and he sees the kid's hand again. And he sees that, no, the kid actually does have the whole crazy dragon hand.
Because what the kid did is cheat.
Yeah, freaking cheated.
He just pulled the tiles right off the table. And since everyone else was worried about the cops being Yakuza, they didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if Initial D had cheating or if Hikaru no Go had cheating.
Yeah, imagine if in Hikaru no Go, he just, you know, flipped over the other guy's, or he flipped the other guy's tile or little pebble off the board.
Yep.
When he wasn't looking.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So then, like,
cheating technique. Go!
I read spoilers for, like, the next many episodes of the show, and it just follows the Initial D format of he fights bigger and bigger Mahjong guys, as far as I can tell. Like, and the cheating thing just keeps going. There's one guy who tries to cheat against him, but he'll cheat back.
Wow.
Which I guess is all they could do because Mahjong, there's not much to that game.
Yeah, imagine if we made a show. We should make a parody where it's coin tossing. It's like, I am the ultimate coin tosser. I always know if it is heads or tails. Ding!
Ah, but I put the poison in your cup, therefore blah, 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 blah.
Aha! Uh-huh, I have a two-headed coin. Aha, uh-huh, but look at mine. It is actually, it is not a two-headed coin, but it has holograms on both sides, so I can make it heads or tails at my whim.
Heads or tails. I say it's going to land on its edge. What? But such a thing has never happened.
I'll use my magic. Always land on edge coin. Ding! Look at my sleight of hand skill. Apparently, this thing started out in this manga that was printed in a Mahjong magazine. Like a few pages, you know, in this magazine once in a while. And it got crazy popular somehow. I don't know how, because the art's... so we should talk about the art being all weird.
It's real, real weird. Like, for a second, I thought it reminded me of a show that's old and crappy called Jibaku, but I watched Jibaku again, and no, I was just dumb.
Imagine if everyone's real pointy and scratchy.
Pointy and scratchy with really thick lines.
Yeah, so, like, the noses are like knives, and the chins are like knives. Like, they'll stab you. It's just scary.
It's worth watching if you want to laugh.
I recommend watching at least just the first episode. Especially, you know, if you know anything about Mahjong at all, if you've ever seen it, or even if you haven't seen it, just to watch it and laugh. But to watch more than one episode, you got to really like it for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, even Initial D, which is the same kind of show, really. When we first saw it, we saw the first four episodes, and we walked out of our anime club thinking that was the stupidest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if he wins. And then we end up watching the whole show and loving it.
Well, it's because Initial D at least had music to get an energy, like you could get into it, you know? it like had the suspense that you could, if you really wanted to enjoy the show.
Hey, Akagi has suspense. It has a whole shit ton of it. It's nothing but suspense.
Yeah, but it didn't have the same. There was just something, you know. Granted, it's the same genre of show, and Initial D doesn't have much more to it than Akagi does. But at least car racing at least has a little bit of. First of all, it's not just randomness. There's actually something to it. And it has that live action, like cars are driving suspense, as opposed to Mahjong, where it's just people sitting there.
And at least Go, while it's also just people sitting there, at least Go has the actual strategy. Think about it.
Yeah, every episode of Hikaru no Go, you learn like techniques and things. So there's actually something to that.
Prince of Tennis is kind of dumb, but whatever.
I don't think Prince of Tennis actually teaches you about tennis.
No.
I think that might not even actually be in the same genre. I think it's just like a high school story.
No,
but I don't know. Seen it.
It is very much the same kind of show.
Is it really?
It has more drama in it, but it's very much the prodigy kid who becomes awesome and faces greater and greater challenges.
Oh, okay. But anyway, yeah, this show is just like all those shows, except it's missing that little tiny bit of magic that makes it something you want to watch.
I guess I was assuming that maybe they made it as a joke to make fun of those other shows.
That would be all right. But
in
then
fact,
why
I'm
did
going
they get,
to assume that.
But
if
then
that's
why
not
did
true,
they use computers to like animate
oh, yeah.
the Mahjong tiles?
The Mahjong tiles. If you've seen the first season of Initial D, like the first half, it's pretty much PlayStation 1 graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's normal animation, but whenever the cars are on, it's like this terrible 3D whatever. They do the Mahjong tiles like that.
Yeah, it's not PlayStation 1 graphics, but it's not exactly the greatest. It's just obvious CG for the Mahjong tiles when the rest of it is the horrible pointy animation.
It's horrible.
Very horrible. And this is the best of the shows we watched.
Yeah. I mean, we watched a couple other shows. What was that? Wings of
Reen.
Yeah, and then some show that ended up just being about like magical cat girls.
Yeah. We'll talk about those next week.
Yeah, because if you thought Gundam F91 was confusing, this Wings of Whatever show is like that times a million.
Exactly.
We pretty much sat there watching it. We watched the whole episode.
Whoa, just save it for next week, man.
All right. So then we out. And that was Geek Nights with Rem and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.